title of the message, Never Settle Down, Breakthrough. One time I was just watching the sports event in the news, and you're talking about the surfers, and then he was a very popular surfer in Australia. But you notice one thing, skilled surfer will always wait for the waves. Am I right or not? And they'll always wait for the kind of waves that they want. And I realized that when the moment he gets up onto the serve, onto the board, serving board, he will serve like as though everything is so easy. He ride on the waves. I can't help it when I look at that image and that picture in my head, that breakthroughs are very similar. God is the one that generate the waves. He generate the waves for you and I to ride on, so that you can have the breakthroughs in your lives. We never seem to have the momentum. We did not see the movement of God. We could not see the hand of God doing and generating the wave. That's why we missed it. We need to get into the waves and have the breakthroughs for our lives. Allow me to share with you from this particular passage. I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 to 10. Reading from the NIV, it says this. The king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." They thought David cannot get in here. Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind who are David's enemies. That is why they say the blind and lame will not enter the palace. David then took up residence in the fortress and called it the city of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and it became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. Today, I just want you to concentrate on this passage. But before I do that, I want to lay down some foundation to help you to understand what are the things that you and I need to have the breakthroughs. Perhaps some of these examples in the Bible will give us an idea. First of all, I want you to see Elisha came and asked for double portion of anointing from Elijah. Because the Bible tells me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, I can do all this through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives me strength. We believe the double portion of anointing. We believe the strength of the Lord is always the double portion of the anointing in order for us to have the breakthroughs in life. Caleb is another person who was already very old. At the age of 80, he asked for the mountain in Hebron. I want you to see the book of Joshua, chapter 14, verse 11 to 14. He says, I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. He told Joshua, I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then, 80 years old. Most of us will probably be retiring and enjoying our life. But this man says, now, give me these hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord of Israel wholeheartedly. This is another factor that we need to understand. Following God wholeheartedly, not half, not sometimes, but always following him wholeheartedly is another factor that contributes to the possibilities of having breakthroughs. There are many more examples that we can think of. But due to time, I just leave some of these thoughts with you. But there are situations sometimes in the Bible that tells me there are people who learn to be very settled. They are very comfortable. They settle down simply because they do not have any more vision. Do you know there are times we do not have any desire to advance or move forward in our Christian life? We are very satisfied with where we are because there is no problem. Therefore, we just want to be there. We dare not even move forward simply because there was no vision. One typical example was the priest Eli, man without vision. When man is without vision, there is little spiritual motivation. However, King David is sending us a different message today. He's sending us a very significant message whereby you should not settle down. You should move on. You should grab hold of the opportunities. Do not leave your life with inactivities. Do not have a time of procrastination. Do not always give excuses. Oh, Pastor, I don't understand the Bible, so what's the point of reading the Bible? What an excuse for ourselves. And the more you give excuses, you develop in years, you will develop a habit. And there will be no breakthroughs for each of those characteristics. But today, I want to bring out David. David is making his movement towards the throne of Israel. Listen to the story of his life. David is now having his people, his elders, and many others rallying towards him at Hebron. Because at this point of time, Saul has been killed in the battle. And now his son Ish-bosheth, after three other brothers were also killed, Ish-bosheth was appointed to lead and to rule. But he was a weak person. But there were people inside the palace that were not fond of him. And he was assassinated after a brief time ruling Israel. So now everyone came to David at Hebron, rallying towards him, supporting him, and said, "You be the king, our king, over Israel." At that time, house of Saul was very weak. But the people, the southerners who rallied with David, became stronger and stronger. As much as that thing took place, Hebron has become the headquarters of all the rulership of David over Israel. But he felt that it's time to move on. He felt that Hebron is not enough. He ruled over Judah for 7 years at Hebron. Now he says we need to move on. And they want to move on over to Jerusalem. And therefore he's crying out for a new capital city. Now David, as much as he is the king of Israel, he's looking for city of Jerusalem, because city of Jerusalem is very centralized. It will be the best location to become the headquarters, the religious headquarters, and also to be the city of peace. But you must understand, in history, Jerusalem was given to the people of God, but they failed. And there are scriptures to tell you that it was not even conquered during Joshua's generation. You can see that in the book of Joshua chapter 15 and verse 63. It says this, the men of Judah actually failed to dislodge. The Bible says, as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day. They could not conquer Jerusalem. Jebusites is another tribe of the Canaanites. And at the same time, you look at Judges chapter 1, verse 8. It also showed to us that the people or the children of Judah, they fought against Jerusalem. They took it. However, very strange, they struck it with the edge of the sword, and then they set the city on fire. So it looks like they were not interested in Jerusalem. But the history tells me the Jebusites came back and took over this complete ruined city and rebuilt them and dwell in that city. And there is another passage that tells us in Judges chapter 1, verse 21, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. So of course, Benjamin were all trying to take over for the past 200 years, but they were not able to. These are some examples of failing to obey God and not able to conquer the one that God instructed at the earlier stage. So what do we see? We actually saw one thing. Jerusalem right now is governed by the Jebusites. It is a strong city and is also what they call unconquerable fortress. The reason why it is unconquerable fortress, because apparently they were very much protected by three different valleys, and I will show it to you soon. However, there is a prophetic history in the early stage of David's life when he fought against Goliath. And it was found in 1 Samuel 17, verse 54. And David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put the Philistine's weapon in his own tent. He took this Goliath's head that he conquered, cut it out, and then he went right to Jerusalem and placed his head there. Prophetically, David was saying, we will come back and take that city. And so we see in the history, with this prophetic move, David was not going to be settled down in Hebron. He has the intention to go back to Jerusalem, break in Jerusalem, and conquer the city. So with that, I'm taking you back to this passage in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 3. He says, so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a lick or a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. You see, David is not satisfied where he is. He ruled for 7 years in Hebron. He says, time to move on. Time to grab hold of that city. And there was a covenant established. What sort of covenant? The covenant is about David becoming the king over Israel. He will rule over them. However, there is also another condition that the people promise to obey. And that was the league. That was the covenant. He says, I will not settle down and I will move on to Jerusalem. So what happened was this. When they went over to the city of Jerusalem, right there, the Jebusites started to intimidate David and his men. Intimidating them, mocking at them. There was Jebusites' attitudes towards David. Listen, when they start mocking him by lining up the blind and the lame along the wall to reveal the futility of what they were trying to do. They were mocking at David and his men. You can see that in verse 6. Now, why does Jebusites does the showcase of the lame and the blind? Why? Why put the lame and the blind in front? It's as though they are sacrificing them. No. He's trying to ridicule David. He's trying to say, David, I don't need any strong man to guard this place. I can put the lame and the blind and you can't even enter it. Wow. Just like some sarcastic people would say that, right? They did that. You say, what can you do? What can you do? I'm going to put this lame, and you will never be able to come in. That was exactly what they said. I can strike you with one hand at my back. That's what he's trying to say, isn't it? Like some of you would say to another person, you know, come on, I can tie my hand and play, you know, with you, and I can beat you anytime. You know, that's exactly what Jebusite said to David. But David knew the enemy was trying to do, to intimidate him. You see, normally intimidation is always the enemy's last hope for victory. Do you know that? You and I should not be so apprehensive or worried over what the enemy is doing today. The fact is, the advancements of the enemy today, trying to destroy the country, the people's life, through all kinds of policies that people are passing today, is simply because the devil knows his time is limited. He knows his time is very soon. He's working out all these to intimidate you that there will be no future for anyone who denies or defies his order. And so because of that, the enemy tried to create this battle bravado, a pretentious battle, trying to make themselves look as though they are strong. But in actual fact, inside, they are weak. That's exactly what the enemy does. He intimidated us because that was his last hope. You remember Nehemiah's opposition? If you have studied the book, you will understand what I'm saying. Nehemiah was advancing and building the wall of Jerusalem, and the enemy is panicking. They are constantly trying to harass him, trying to oppose him, trying to intimidate him, trying to mock at the people who are working there. Why? Because they knew their time is limited. That's exactly what the enemy does, my friend. The worst thing they ever want is for you to realize that there is potential and there is power and there is the promises of God in your life. That is the last thing they want you to know. They want you to know that you are not suitable, that you are not able, and he wants to show you that spiritually, he says, look at your past, look at who you are. You remember you were doing all these things? You were not right? You think God actually cares about you? They will say all sorts of things to mock your spirituality. They will mock your past failures. This is what you have done. Do you think God wants to bring you and say, don't worry, I'll clean you up. I love you. What do you mean I love you? You probably begin to doubt because the enemy put those thoughts in your head. He mocked at you. And that's why he's doing it, simply to make you not realize that there is the promise, there is the power of God that is in you to do all that you can for the glory of Jesus. The other thing is that intimidation distracts us from who we are with, isn't it? Distract us with all kinds of calamity so that you will forget. You will forget that you have the resource. You will forget that these are the things that you have. And every time you get so drawn into the calamity, into the unpredictables, into the uncertainties, you do not know what to do. But you have forgotten that God says, I am with you. You lost your understanding. You lost and you forgot the resource that you have. The enemy tried to distract you by bringing difficult tasks into your life, by distracting you with all this faithlessness and criticism that people make against you. The enemy just wants you to know that there is no such thing as God. And we live our life as though there is no God. We live our life as though God is not important. And so we decided that I don't want to come to the Lord's house because the Lord is not important. Look at the 10 spies. You remember the 10 spies? They were distracted, isn't it? Right at the onset, the Lord said to Moses that he wants to bring them into the promised land. They knew that. That's the reason why they were marching out of Egypt, walking towards the direction where the promised land supposed to be. But unfortunately, they were constantly murmured, complained. And then the next thing, when the 12 spies were sent, 10 of them reported negative things. Said, how could God bring us here? Hey, the Lord already said He will lead you in. We failed to realize at the very onset, God says, I will lead you in. But the people have forgotten. And they came back with a negative report. You see, we get distracted, isn't it? Sometimes we get distracted by our problems and we fail to realize that every time, and the Lord keeps reminding us, He says, hey, would you pray? Would you call upon my name? Would you persist on? Would you keep knocking at the door? Would you come to the living stream and drink when you are tired, when you're weak? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, how often do we lose our focus on God's promises for our lives? Do you remember God's miracles? Do you remember that God did this before? Did you remember? I remember. I remember right at the beginning how the Lord delivered me from gastritis. I had a very bad gastritis when I was 18 years old. Doing my Form 6, it was really bad. I was crouching in pain. But the Lord brought me to His house. And someone began to pray and speak to me. For whatever reason, all of a sudden, there was no more gastritis. And I knew the reality of God's miracles. And I will not forget, even though He was right there in the past. But that is only to show to me that my God is a living God. Whether He was done in the past or in the present or in the future, I know that my God is a living God. Somebody say amen. And this is what we need to know. So David now realized that he got to move on with his people and face the intimidation and challenge the intimidation. One of the very important reasons why he wants to move to Jerusalem. Why? Why did he want to get into the city of Jerusalem? You see, the ancient name of Jerusalem was Lamb. Literally means peace. They felt this place is a very important place because of the location, the way it is designed, the landscape. There were three valleys, the Hinnom Valley, Jerusalem Deep Valley, and the Kidron Valley. Because of the three valleys, it gives a sense of security to the fortress. It makes the enemy harder to attack. So David is a smart man. He saw the landscape. He saw that is the place that we should be in. That should be the headquarters. That should be the religious city. And so he moved on. He realized the word Jerusalem simply means peace. And peace of God belongs to His children. Are you with me? The peace of God belongs to His children. You and I think about our present circumstances. We thought our circumstances are not good, therefore we make decisions based on the present circumstances. But we do not see the future design of God and His endowment, His bestowal of His divine peace is going to be greater than your circumstances. The peace of God that transcends all human understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It will protect you. I want you to see that David understood the place of peace. This is the place of peace where it will help them to find security. But then David needs to fight back to take back that peace, like some of us need to. We need to fight back by destroying what the enemy is trying to block. We need to fight back. We need to get back to that zone and receive the peace. Let me illustrate my point. You remember the very first time it was mentioned of this city was during the time of Abraham. Abraham fought for his nephew, Lot. And in that battle against the enemy who kidnapped his nephew, Lot, he was able to deliver them and help them out. And when he had that, he had a special visitation from a king called Melchizedek. King Melchizedek is the king of Salem, king of peace. He came to visit Abraham because of the result of that battle. And what I saw is this: the peace of God will come when we take our position to fight back and to win that peace. See, God's peace sometimes is something that we need to claim for. David believed that this is the place of peace where God had already given to them when he said, I'm going to bring you to the promised land. This is part of the promised land, by the way. This is the peace of promise that a lot of people did not bother to claim. Everybody is claiming for something else except the peace of God. Many believers today are stressed up and struggle. They do not tell you the struggle they go through, but they try to pretend that everything is fine. That's what the world is doing, bringing out an image as though everything is fine. But when the rubber meets the road, the cry for help seemingly loud and clear. We can function effectively when the peace of God takes residence in our spirit. We can be very sure of the divine order and the security and the peacefulness in order to be effective in our daily walk with Him. Despite all the abuse, despite all the chaos that you and I witness today. John 14:27 tells us this, a very popular, famous statement that Jesus made. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Listen to this. One more time. I do not give to you as the world gives. In other words, that His peace is different from the way the world defines. And He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, dear friends, without God's peace in our life, all other provisions are somehow far less than they were intended to be. Without the peace of God, it is hard to live. Without the peace of God, it is hard to function. We need the peace of God. Therefore, God's peace is something that we need to fight for, not only to claim. And David was willing to crush the enemy so that he can regain the place of peace. Are you ready to fight and take back the peace of God? You ask yourself, but Pastor, if it's about the peace, why do we need to fight? I remember the testimony of this woman that is very rarely mentioned. It was during the World War II in Poland by the name of Irina Sendler. She was a nurse. And when Hitler ruled Poland, she says, let us fight against Hitler. How? How would this one woman fight against Hitler? She went out saving 2,500 Jewish kids. Put them in the casket, put them in the box, put them in the container, and put them all in and roll the cart so that they can be saved. She kept a jar with the list of names of these kids. But she was discovered later on and was imprisoned and was tortured. But they could not kill her or stop her. At the end, 2,500 Jewish kids were all saved. How do you fight for peace? You fight for peace by stopping what the enemy is doing. You fight for peace against what the enemy is trying to influence. You stop the influence by fighting against the enemy so that you can regain peace and order into your own home. Some of us, we look at our kids and we say, well, everything is fine. Listen carefully. You do not look at the present state. You discern what can happen. You discern what the children can become. And you began to do all that is needed. Fight back and win the peace of God. And order will rest upon the home. I challenge you as Sandler did. There was this little story in a movie. I'm not too sure whether you watch this show, but it's called A Lick of Their Own. Did you see the show? There was a lady with a Gina Davis character. She wanted to quit the women's baseball team, isn't it? Simply because she wants to be with her husband when he returns from the World War II because he was wounded. Tom Hanks acts as the manager of the team. And he travels to her house and trying to talk to this star player into coming back because he needs her. And when he spoke to her, she cried. And she said this, "Oh no, it's just too hard. It's just too hard." And Tom Hanks' character went straight right to her face and spouts back at her and said these words, "Listen, of course it's hard. That's what makes it great. Of course it's hard. That's what makes it great." And so some of us may say, "Pastor, it's so hard." Have you ever heard that word? When you ask someone to do, "It's so hard, Pastor. It's so hard. The road is so hard. The journey is so hard." And every time we say, "The walk with God is so hard." Yes, brothers and sisters, I'm not saying it's easy. Just as Tom Hanks says in the movie, "Of course it's hard. That what makes it great." We want to give up, isn't it? We want to go back to our sinful ways because that is the easiest lifestyle we have, or rather we know. That's the best I can be, and that's the best I want to do. I'm so good in sinning. Might as well I live with that. Jesus said, "Not one having put his hand on the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom of God." You can see that in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. We can't look back, brothers and sisters. We got to press on with our walk with God. You see, enemies comes in different form to rob your peace away. The enemy of fear, the enemy of stress, the enemy of strife, and the enemies of discouragement, disloyalty, betrayal. Sometimes you have in your home, people may betray you, or relatives may betray you. In the midst of all that, your enemies rob your peace away. There are times when I went through that path and I was so frustrated with myself and someone betrayed me and I was so angry. And I was lying down there and it was no fun and no joke. Deep in my spirit, I want to lay my hand. I seriously want to lay my hand. Wow. It was tough when you have betrayal. Your hearts are so filled with pain, so filled with anxieties, so filled with worries, and you wonder what you should do next. But at that time, the thought was so evil. The thought was so full of anger. And the Lord has to deal with me because it's the action of the person that has controlled my life. And I realized, Lord, I must learn to let go. It's so easy to say it, but it took me at least about a month or so that I prayed, "God, these hands and these legs are meant to bring the gospel. I cannot afford to have this life completely tainted with stress and with pain and with anger." And I said, "Lord, cleanse me." And I go back to Psalms 51. "Lord, cleanse me. Renew me. Let there be a clean spirit in my heart. Do not depart from me, Lord." How many of you know that this is a reality of life? Amen. But we all go through, isn't it? I went through it myself. But that's the reason why I said we can learn to let go. But it takes courage. It takes surrender. It takes commitment. So the enemies are real. However, David was not succumb to that intimidation. Look at verse 8. In chapter 5, verse 8, it says, on that day, David had said, anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind. Now, when he said reach those lame and blind, he's not talking about the people that were in the front. He's talking about the entire clan, the Jebusites. He called them the lame and the blind. You put the lame and the blind, therefore I call you the lame and the blind. You understand what I'm saying? So now he's going back against that. And he called them my enemies. That is why they say the lame and the blind will not enter the palace. So now David actually revealed something. He says the water shaft, or some of you will probably understand better if I use the word gutter. It was constructed years ago. It was a water tunnel which gave the inhabitants access to the outside spring called Gihon Spring. I'm not very sure whether this is the right pronunciation in Hebrew, but I'm just using from the text itself, and hopefully it is correct. But they have this access through this water tunnel so that they will not be detected by the enemy if they were attacked. They can draw water from the Gihon Spring. By the way, David says there is the water shaft, there is the gutter. What is he saying? He's saying that in order for us to get in, we got to go through the gutter shaft. It's going to be a dirty crawl. Listen, brother and sister, David says anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those lame and blind. You have to go through the dirty way. You have to go through the tough way to reach the top. You have to go through the muddy way to be successful. Everybody loves to read the biography of a successful man and say, wow, they have earned so many millions and billions of dollars. How many of you know they went through dirty roads and mud roads? Nobody knows that. They thought it was easy. It was a tough crawl. But today's generation, listen, many young people think that the only way to break through is to look for an easy way. Our young generation today are just not looking for the hard way. They want to look for the easy way. Listen, brothers and sisters, sometimes we fall into the same trap. A lot of time people think that doing God's will always results in smooth roads. When I get into a smooth road, wow, that must be God's will, isn't it? I know some people, when they drive their car and park right in front of the restaurant and they found a parking lot, wow, that must be God's will for me to eat in this restaurant. They park too far, maybe it's not. If you go 2, 4, 5 rounds, maybe it's not God's will. If you get free parking, wow, definitely it's God's will. In Malaysia, you need to squeeze everywhere to find a parking lot. And when you get there, you say, wow, it's God's will that I should eat in this place. But more often than not, it takes a lot of tough roads, isn't it? We need to get through tough roads. We need to go through the gutters. We need to go through the mud of life. How many of us are willing to go and get dirty in the battle? Let us face some of our gutters today. Let us face some of the gutters to get into our future career. Let us get through some of our gutters in order for us to get into promotion. Let us get through some of the gutters in order to establish some very good business. Get through the gutters. Don't be afraid. The book of Chronicles gives us a little bit of detail to give us an understanding of the incident when David spoke in 2 Samuel chapter 5. I want you to see 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 6 to 8. He says this. David has said this, whoever leads the attack on the Jebusites will become commander-in-chief. And then he said this, listen, look at the word. Joab, son of Zeruiah, went up first. Regardless of how dirty the gutter is going to be, regardless of how difficult the gutter is going to be, Joab heard the word from the king of Israel, and he says, I will go first. Oh, brothers and sisters, I do not know whether you are getting there or not. God is looking for champions like this. Amen? God is looking for champions. God is looking for people like Joab that says, I'm willing. When he heard the word of God, he knew about the entrance into the water tunnel. He knew that he will have to do it. Somebody has to go there. And therefore, Joab says, I will go. And so he went. You see, he was more concerned about pleasing the king. Am I right or not? I pray today as children of the living God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I do not know what you are thinking today, but when the Lord say, come into my presence, there will be no hesitation. We will immediately make our way into his presence. That is exactly what Joab would do. Joab accepted God's word as the only valid word. It's yea and amen. Somebody say amen. Joab decided to do so. Joab decided to make his move. Joab decided to break in. Before you have a breakthrough, you got to break in. And so he did. You see, one of the beautiful things is this. God reveals and exposes the core problem. What was the core problem is found in verse 8. He says, anyone who conquers a Jebusite will have to use the water shaft. The king made Joab aware of the underground spring that had fed Jerusalem. And he knew when there is this Gihon spring, for them to come out and draw water, if they have the excess into the Gihon spring, there must be an excess to get in. Are you with me? How many of you know that God reveals and exposes the main problem? He brings out the main opening for you and for me. It is that place that you must begin with. I repeat, it is that place that you must begin with. We look for possibilities, we look for an opening. And therefore, when you look at the opening of the enemy's camp, we then begin to look for accessibility. We look at ways how to get in. We look at ways how to break inside. The moment we have the opening, that's the place we must get in. Some of us, we have the opening. Every time it's offered to you, but you just look at it and you brush it aside. You never get in. Why? Oh, I don't want to get dirty. Ugh. We feel so afraid because we don't want to get dirty. We don't want to go through the mud. Brothers and sisters, I believe the only way is to go through the hot road. Are you with me? Just go through the hot road. I remember Jesus when he offered the five loaves and two fish to the multitudes of 5,000 of adults, excluding the kids and the women. But you know what's strange? It is the kid that was not calculated inside the numbers that was chosen to provide the five loaves and two fish. How many of you know God will choose people who are not even inside the circle of calculation? And then the Bible tells me he took the bread, when he blessed it, he broke it. How many of you know that if you want to see God's blessing, he will break. He will break sometimes our lives. When he breaks our life, that's when he wants to bless you. Most of the time, we are so afraid to be broken. And when we are broken, we get angry. We get so angry. We push people aside. If you come near me, I'll give you a punch. But we forgot that God breaks us so that he wants to bless us. And we missed that out. It's just like the opening. God showed us and we just look at it and we just brush it away. Brothers and sisters, apparently what appeared to be Jerusalem's greatest strength was also the greatest weakness, the Gihon spring. What seems to be the blessing can also be a curse to the enemy. And sometimes we thought, oh, wow, I'm so good in this. You know, God has blessed me. Do you know that sometimes you're so good in that and you're not careful, you don't guard yourself, that problem or that strength can be a problem. How many of you know sometimes people use so much intelligence, the intelligence became a problem? This is exactly what I'm saying. The real problem today is actually inside and is not outside. God always deals with problems from the inside out. We often talk about consequences of life, but we never talk about the cause, the real cause of the problem. We need to look at the real problem. The real problem is inside. The real problem is not the facade that you see outside of that person's life. It's actually inside. Somebody tell me, is there a brokenness in that person's life? Yes, there is. The people's life is so filled with brokenness, with so filled with stress, with so filled with disappointments in life. They just pretend to look good outside, but the real problem is inside. The enemy attack what is inside. As much as David saw, the problem was inside, not outside. And therefore, he realized that we need to get through it. And once you get through the tunnel, you will get what is inside there. The Gihon Spring was as much as a blessing, it was also a problem. And the enemy doesn't realize it. And David saw the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, likewise, we also realize that sometimes many of our inner problem is actually our incapabilities to rise up. There is always a lead over us. And we always felt that because of that lead, I do not know how to get out. So there was this lead in front of them. There was this huge city wall that we do not know how to get in. There is a lead over our lives, and we need that lead to be open. And the way to get that is to get into the gutters and remove that lead. I could visualize today, while David created a diversion from the outside city, Joab conquered it from within his own walls. Don't you ever do nothing when the opportunity is there. Don't you ever sit there in the rocking chair and say, I'm doing something, because you are not. Gihon Spring is just right there. The real solution is right in front of you. All you need to do is to get dirty and muddy by going through the gutters of life. Never settle down in your Christian life. If you are satisfied where you are, that's exactly where you will be. But if you are not satisfied and it's time to move on from Hebron to city of Jerusalem, then you must learn to get out of where you are and break in and conquer and take possession. That's how you break through. Never settle down in your Christian life. Are you breaking through your own hardships? Are you breaking through your own enemy's camp? Are you breaking through? Some of us know that Sunday is the day that we want to worship God and give our best. But you know what? Most of the Christians, they spend all their energy on Saturday night. And then Sunday. You want to give your best to the Lord Sunday? And Saturday you spend all the energy. Yay, yay. And then you finish at 12 midnight, 1 a.m. And then you come and then you'll be like that. Saying praises. Sorry, what do you say? And the pastor say, amen, amen, amen. And the pastor say, you're stupid, amen, amen, amen. Because you do not know what the pastor says. How can we take over Jerusalem, the city of David? Or rather, the city of peace. But David did that. Are you breaking through? Are you breaking through your enemy's camp? Are you breaking through your hardship in order to possess it? Are you breaking through? Jerusalem was finally taken over. David conquered the Jebusites and now became the capital city, became the kingdom of David and became the religious center. That is the place that we want to be in. This church has an opportunity to break in. We need to break in. We have the society to break in, to fight against the turmoil and the disgusting policies, and stand strong and win people back and let them see the real world views of life, that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Many threw away these splendid opportunities. Many of them have lost the opportunity to do great business for the kingdom of God. They are like the door with the hinges creaking with that sound. But it's not moving anywhere. Make a lot of noise. Some Christians are like that. They complain. Hiya, why are the churches like that? Hiya. These are typical Chinese. Hiya, why the pastor like that one? But then you ask them to do something. No time. Door on the hinges. Make a lot of noise, but don't move. Yeah? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. Are you with me? Yeah, we have a lot of people who make a lot of noise. Empty gong. How can they break through? And that is the reason why I said this in this passage. Don't settle down. If you want to give your best on Sunday, don't spend all your energy on Saturday. You can have a good time, but reserve your energy on Saturday. How many of you know that for me, Saturday, I sleep as early as 10? Why? Because I want to reserve my best on Sunday with the people of God and worship Him. Deal with your strongholds. The double portion of anointing does not happen when we are not ready for action. If you are not ready to take back, you're not ready to break through, you're not ready to break in, you're not ready to take hold of this beautiful blessing of God, then you will never receive the double portion of anointing. Paul said very clearly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let it be our aim for more breakthroughs today. Like Caleb, if we do not follow the Lord wholeheartedly, do not expect breakthroughs. Caleb, is that your name? Fantastic. Caleb made the statement, when you hold that name, you follow through the same. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Today, we have a lot of people holding biblical names. Right? Biblical names. Great men and women of God. Some people call Jeremiah. Some people call Elijah. Some people call Elisha. But the way they live, I think they live more like Judas. Elijah, but then live like Judas. Anna, you are the prophetess, the tribe of Asher. Live like one. Nathan, you're a prophet. Live like one. Azahel, he was killed. But you know what? He was a man of that does great exploit for King David. I don't know why you gave him Azahel. Brothers and sisters, let us mount up with wings of eagles. Amen. You know why? The Bible tells me in Isaiah that God will provide renewed strength and renewed courage. God wants us to mount up with that wings. And let us begin with all the possibilities. Life is full of grand possibilities. People said, don't have this thing, don't have that thing. Don't tell me don't have. You actually did not take any trouble to find. You did not search hard enough. Don't say, don't have. This land is so rich with a lot of opportunities. You can have it if you only want to get dirty. If If you are not going to get muddy and dirty, you will never get into the Gihon Spring. But when you look at the Gihon Spring, that is the solution. Then when you get into it, get dirty through by walking and crawling through the gutters so that you can reach the life of peace. That's what God intended all of us to have, a life of peace, not only for the present time, but also for the future. I live my Christian walk 30 over years now. My own Christian life, not as a minister, but the entire life as a minister plus my Christian walk with God since 1981. I've walked through that path. 30 over years, I've never regret at all. Never regret. And I said, Lord, you are taking me from this place to another place. Listen, you will miss the greatest intention and the blessings of God if you have no desire to crawl in the gutters and get dirty with your hands, with your knees, with your life. How many of you know the greatest battle won is on our knees? When you are on your knees, that's when you see the power of God. So let us learn. Every opportunity is there, we grab hold of it. But when you grab it, are you ready to get dirty? This church was never built in an easy way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It was built with tenacity, with heartaches, with a lot of traveling and caring and loving, which is a joy. Don't mistake it. Even getting dirty is a joy. You know why? At the end, I see the results. I see individual lives enjoying the miracles of God. Are you with me? How many of you are ready for the breakthroughs in your life? Amen. Are you ready for your breakthroughs? All right. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want you to get into that faith zone.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.